2 minutes ago, third quarter, and the pass is stolen by Tejans. Mora with the turnover. Tejans, nice crossover. Tatum, nice dish underneath the Brown, and the layup is good. Miley Brown with five. What a dish by Tejans. She gets the assist, and Beloit's up by seven. Tejans throws up an air ball in the lane. Saved by Cooper. Tejans has a loose ball on the baseline. Now to Brown. Eilert, open three, right to the key. Bucket! Reagan Eilert with a trifecta, and Beloit leads by eight. Cooper with a great hustle play.
Well, the girls get a win last night over Ellsworth, 49-46. Tatum Tejans with a career-high 13. Portia Cooper, 13. 10 points for Peyton Remus. Cooper and Tejans are co-NCKSports.com athletes of the game. Block of the game went to Portia Cooper. The block of the game brought to you by HR Block and Beloit. Cunningham Telephone Cable Connection. The game, Tejans to Miley Brown for a bucket as Beloit got a little bit dicey there at the end, but they did win by three, led by 10 late. And Beloit now 3-11, the girls are, and in league play at 3-6. Did not play Sacred Heart twice due to just all the things that happened this year with COVID and quarantines. And so they will turn around and play tonight against Smith Center. And that will be the matchups we'll have on the radio here this evening. Dusty will go through our schedule for tonight that's taking place in North Central Kansas.
Yes, as you said, Smith Center at Beloit tonight. And we'll have JV boys start at 5:30, JV girls 7:30 on video stream. And then on Katy Country 94 and NCKSSports.com, 5:50 pregame for Beloit hosting Smith Center. And varsity girls and six boys to follow here tonight. In that one, also other games going on this evening. Rock Hills is at Osborne, Sylvan Lucas at Lakeside, Lincoln at St. John's Tipton, and Southern Cloud at Natoma, Thunder Ridge at Wilson, Tescott at Chase. Those are the games going on in the Northern Plains League tonight. Also, Clay Center's at Concordia in the NCKL. A couple other NCAA matchups as well. Sacred Heart at Ellsworth and Republic County at Southeast of Saline. So that's a look at the games that are going on here this evening as far as high school basketball is concerned. Our high school sports coverage will start with the wrestling locker room chats tonight as well at 5:10. So stay tuned for those on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com here tonight.
All right. Tonight we have Beloit and Smith Center on the radio. Non-league affair. Nick Lynn, head coach of Smith Center and Lady Red, off to a really good start, of course, this year, having an outstanding year yet again. His team has to be ready to go, despite what Beloit's record is.
Well, they're always well coached, you know, and they're going to be ready, and that much is a given. So we take nothing for granted, believe me. So when we go down there on Tuesday, expect a good game, and hopefully we'll be able to do things and get some separation if we can. If not, hopefully get a win.
And Shauna Remus, it's senior night. Two seniors on the roster, Reagan Eilert and Portia Cooper, and she'd like to send them out on a positive note.
The kids just need to go relax and have fun and let Portia and Reagan, you know, kind of have the game of their life, hopefully, and go out on a positive note as we come and play Smith Center and then head on into sub-state.
And on the boys' side of things, Dana Weltmer, head coach of the Smith Center boys. They've had a tough year this year, just one win on the season. Beloit coming in with just four wins on the season. And non-league games, good for the team, says Coach Weltmer.
I always think it's kind of fun to play somebody outside the league. We did that with Superior. And when you know everything about everybody towards the end of the year, it's kind of fun to step out a little bit and play somebody new. So it'll be another good challenge for us when they've always had a good reputation of being good at basketball, so I'll be excited to play that game, and I know our kids are always excited about the opportunity to play.
And Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Beloit Trojan boys, just looking for an improvement week in and week out.
More importantly, just like every night, your goal is to show improvement, to show that things are carrying over from practice, and that's what we're going to want to see on Tuesday, is to come out and show that, you know, these teams that we're playing that have really kind of put it to us, that we're learning from it and can play at an intense level no matter what the night is.
So Smith Center at Beloit tonight. We have JV boys are at 5:30. Note that time change, 5:30 JV boys at the elementary school, and then the varsity girls at 6 o'clock at the high school, followed by the varsity boys at 7:30. The JV girls will play at 7:30 at the elementary. All those games, live video stream at nccastsports.com for you Beloit Trojan and Smith Center fans out there. So spread the word. If you're in the Smith Center area, spread the word that we've got the JV games and the varsity games streamed at nccastsports.com for the Beloit Trojan channel. Hopefully Dusty and others can help spread the word on social media, as I've done my part here this morning. And then also, the varsity games will be on the radio on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Tonight, girls game, certainly the favorite will be Smith Center, and the boys game, I think the favorite, even though Beloit's 4-12, they will be the favorite in that game. And then looking ahead, Beloit boys and girls will be eight seeds. Willette will be at Phillipsburg on Monday. As long as Phillipsburg doesn't lose to Stockton tonight, Phillipsburg girls will be the one seed, according to the standings on Keisha's website, which is good. I don't want to go to Goodland. No offense to Goodland. I don't want to go to Goodland on a Monday night for one game. That'd be about a seven-hour round-trip bus ride to go play for an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half.
Yeah.
For one game. So how about we just go to Phillipsburg instead? Which I no knock on Phillipsburg. I think Goodland's better. So it probably is a win-win there for Beloit playing Phillipsburg instead of Goodland. But anyway, Goodland is 16-3. Phillipsburg 16-2. If Phillipsburg wins tonight, they lock in the number one seed against Stockton. And then Beloit, they are the eighth seed. They would go to Phillipsburg on Monday. The Beloit boys, they are locked in as the eighth seed, it appears, if all the standings are updated correctly. And they would be at TMP. TMP, a very good basketball team, who Beloit beat in the sub-state finals a year ago to make it to state. Of course, TMP's got most of their kids back. Beloit, of course, lost virtually everyone. So Beloit at TMP and Hayes will be next Tuesday. That appears to be the matchups for Beloit. As for Smith Center and our other teams in our area outside of Class 1A, those sub-state brackets will be released tomorrow by the Kansas State High School Activity Association. And then we'll go through those brackets and see the matchups. Of course, we have 1A sub-state basketball we'll have on the radio coming up on Thursday and Friday, right, Dusty?
Yeah, Thursday we'll have the Osborne and Lakeside girls. It'll be in Osborne and starts at 7 o'clock. So I'll have pregame coverage around 6:50 there on Thursday evening. And then on Friday night, we have the Lakeside boys hosting Thunder Ridge in 1A sub-state basketball. Same time, it's pregame 6:50, tip-off at 7 for that boys contest. All the brackets are online for 1A sub-state at ncksports.com.
All right, anything else you want to add to basketball?
No, I think we covered it.
Well, it worked out pretty well. You know, athletic director Kyle Beisner told me, see, my son plays JV and he plays some varsity. He's a freshman. And he plays either some nights he'll play three quarters of JV, sometimes four quarters. If it's three quarters, that works out for me. I can dart out a little bit early, get over to the girls' game. If it's four quarters, there's been a couple, it's been really close. One game with overtime, I had to miss overtime. Mm-hmm. I had to get to the girls. There have been a couple times where I've missed a JV game. Luckily, we video stream. I can go back to the archive and watch it, but I can't watch it live because the girls, varsity girls, play at the same time like it happened at Concordia last Saturday. And so normally JV boys play at 4:30, but they're playing at 5:30, which obviously is a problem because the varsity girls play at 6, normally a problem. And so Kyle told me, and he said, yeah, I said, I thought about you. I'm like, that darn that time change is going to mess you up. And I said, actually,
tonight
Dusty is available, and we were already planning on Dusty to do the games tonight on the radio. So all of you Beloit fans are sick of hearing me. You get Dusty tonight. And Smith Center fans, you get Dusty tonight as well. So Dusty's going to do the games, and I will get to be a fan. So I hope the officials are ready because I am going to ride them. No, I'm just kidding. I won't. I don't think. But anyway.
I don't think.
I don't know. If you have a really horrendous call that decides the game, I may just have a few words for you. But I get to play the role of fan and parent tonight that I have not really been able to do at all. I haven't been able to do this year. Like, you know, I'm a broadcaster, and when I have the headset on, that is what I am. I am a broadcaster. You know, it's like an official, you know, you might know somebody that's a friend of yours that's a referee or an official, but once the game starts, they're an official. Mm-hmm. They're not your friend anymore. They're an official. They have a job to do. Same thing if you're a coach. You might be a friend of somebody, but you are a coach first. And then as a broadcaster, I'm a broadcaster first. Now, when I take the headset off and I'm sitting in the stands, now suddenly I've got to shift into fan or parent mode. Now, is there a parent mode that is part of you if you're an official? If you're a coach, a broadcaster, well, yeah, sure. But it's not the primary focus because the primary focus is your job. And your job is to officiate. Your job is to coach. Your job is to broadcast. And so all year long, I have not had a chance, other than JV games where I can sit and be a fan. But there have been no varsity games where I could just sit there and go, all right, cheer them on. Can't. Now, obviously, there's a bit of homerism when it's Beloit versus teams from outside the area. But if Beloit plays other teams in our area, I try to be as fair and balanced and unbiased as I possibly can, even though this year is the first year I have a kid, because I'm old now. I have a kid that's on the team. And so he plays JV, and then he plays varsity. So tonight, it works out to where I don't have to do any work. I just have to scream and yell at the officials. I mean, encourage the officials. Mm-hmm. I'm joking. I'm not too bad on officials at all. And that would be embarrassing if I got DQ'd tonight for the one time.
Yeah.
That would be really embarrassing. Really embarrassing. That's not going to happen. No way, Jose. So anyway, I'm looking forward to this, sitting as a fan. watching the games and seeing it from a different perspective. Like, I've had a coach before tell me, ask me after a game, you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, what can we do differently? I've had a coach ask me that before. Mm-hmm. Like, what could we, is there anything that you see that I'm missing? Because sometimes when you're, like, for instance, when you're a coach, sometimes you're too close. Sometimes you need a little outside perspective. Sometimes as a broadcaster, you're too close and you need a little outside mm-hmm. perspective. In particular, if you're watching just your team all the time, you don't know how good these other teams are that you're going to go up against, maybe in sub-state or whatever the case may be. So sometimes it helps to have a different perspective. And so I've been asked that a couple times, actually, in my career on broadcasting games on the radio. Like, a coach has actually told me, I've had a good enough relationship with them that they have said, you know, what do you think? You know, yeah. I mean, just open. And I'm like, you know what? I hate to say anything because I'm in broadcasting mode. So I'm not really, like, trying to break down the game from a coaching standpoint. Now, when we are play-by-play announcers and that we don't have a color commentator, and you and I don't, I shift into the color commentator mode during a stoppage of play, and I try to think a strategy. But in regards to actually focusing on one team and going, okay, this is exactly something that really could help this team, or breaking it down to help a coach if they did ask me, I would need to go back and watch it on a video stream archive, go back, watch on Huddle, and I'd have to then think as a coach and watch it that way. Mm-hmm. But when I'm broadcasting, I'm usually not thinking of it as a coach. There's a few times every once in a while it might pop in my head. There's a coaching, like if you're talking, you know, down, you're up three. Do you foul or do you play good defense yeah. and let them shoot a three? Now you're getting into a strategy and a coaching philosophy type of thing. That's very common. Or, you know, you're up two and you got a second free throw and there's like 1.2 seconds. So you better missing that free throw, or should you make it? But then they have time to throw a full court pass and hit a three to force overtime. There's some people believe that you go ahead and miss it. Others say, listen, I can get beat on a full court heave if I miss it. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, there's different strategies. Whether as a coach, but also broadcasting, whether you have a color commentator or you are kind of like me and you go back and forth between play-by-play and color, and you do the same thing, as to thinking as a coach maybe a few times during a game. But the whole game, are we as broadcasters thinking as coaches? No. No way, yeah. Jose. Are coaches thinking as broadcasters? No. No way. So when somebody asks me, well, what do you think? What do you think? I just right away say, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could – I usually go, I don't know, because I'm like, I want to go back and look and think in the eyes of a coach, because you really can't do that very well as a broadcaster. So the point being is that now if I get a watch from the stands, I'm not going to watch it as a coach from the stands either.
Yeah.
Because now I'm going to watch it as a, this is weird for me, watch it as a fan.
Yeah.
And as a parent tonight. And that I'm used to doing that for JV games some, but it's still different for me because, you know, I have not been able to go to a ball game and sit and watch as a fan with no dog in the fight. For instance, obviously my son's playing in JV.
Yeah.
I go to Oklahoma City Thunder game. I haven't been able to do that for over a year now. Mm. I haven't been able to go to a Royals game. I haven't been able to go to a Chiefs game in a couple years. So I've not been able to do that personally and just sit. And, yeah, I'm cheering for this team to win, but I don't have any dog in the fight. Whereas when I'm going to be watching a JV game, my son's playing. I want Beloit to obviously do well, or yeah. the varsity. I want them to do well, so forth and so on. And, you know, my kids go to school at Beloit. I want them to do well. So those are the things that go through your mind. So it's going to be a little bit different for me tonight. I'm looking forward to it, but it is going to be different looking at it from those different colored glasses, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you think as a broadcaster you have all the answers, you don't. If you think as a parent you have all the answers, you don't. If you think as an official you have all the answers, you don't. And if you think because you're a coach you have all the answers, I'm going to let you in on a secret, you don't either. Mm-hmm. None of us have all the answers. And I think there are times where sometimes we think we have some of the answers, or we think we have a lot of the answers. And there's probably people out there that think they know it all and have all the answers. But the thing is, all those moving parts in a basketball game, the officials, the parents / fans, the coaches, the broadcasters, we don't have all the answers. And it would be very interesting if you could ever get together a group of people. Like, if you could get the smartest parent and the smartest non-parent that's a fan that watches you all the time just because they're a fan, okay? And then you get a coach, and then you get a broadcaster, and you get an official. Get one from each entity. You see where I'm with me here? Parent and a fan. I'm talking there's a difference. You can be a parent and a fan, but I'm talking a fan with no dog in the fight. A parent, you have a dog in the fight. A coach, an official, and a broadcaster. All right? Put a gallon of beer in front of all five. I'm kidding. Oh, although some are like, really? Is there a party at Gershner's house? Cool. Those five people, one representing each entity. Have them, and I'm talking people that know what they're talking about.
I've been excluded from this already.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, me too, probably. But wouldn't that be really an interesting conversation if you had five people, an official, a parent, a fan who's not a parent, a coach, and a broadcaster. You sit them in a room, lock them in a room, throw away the key. I'm kidding, you don't want to do that. But, and just talk basketball. And wouldn't it be very interesting, the perspective that each person would have? And I would guarantee you, I think I can guarantee you, that every single person, if they're open-minded and listen to the other four, because there's a total of five, I just counted, right? If they are open-minded and all of them listen to one another as human beings and forget the fact that I'm a broadcaster or I'm a coach or I'm a parent or I'm a fan or an official and just forget what stripes they wear, and they're just regular people talking basketball, I think each person would come away with something they've each learned from the other.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wouldn't that be very interesting?
Yeah, it would. We go through it a little bit. At least I feel like I do, like during 8-Man All-Star Week, right? Like I can sit down with the coaches and talk what they do, and they can understand what I'm doing with my job, right?
Right.
And we kind of go back and forth. It's funny but that's what came to mind when you said even coaches who think they might know it all don't really know it all. I mean, that's a perfect example of that, because all them coaches are bouncing ideas off of each other, right?
All the time.
And everybody's trying to learn something new for their program because they don't know everything about everything, right? And I think that, you know, that's why they have, Casey has coaching schools, right?
Right.
So they can go bounce ideas off of a Division I coach or another KCAC coach or something to get ideas for their program. And I think we all do that. We do that as broadcasters without a question, right? We listen to other broadcasters. We talk to other broadcasters and see, you know, what they do and how they do some things. And yeah, I think that that's all part of just bettering your craft, right?
Like, right.
No matter what you're doing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can't be closed-minded.
Officials have to be doing it, too. I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, parents, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because they're just cheering. You know, they're in the stands. They don't need a direction of how to cheer unless, you know, maybe they're a little bit too vocal and maybe they need to tone it down a little bit.
Sure.
Or they just don't do anything and maybe they need to bring up their energy a little bit. But otherwise.
So you're saying I don't need any direction. I can just be
do what you do.
I can just do what I do. I can be me tonight, huh?
Yeah.
I can just let loose. I love it. I am going to take my shirt off and run up and down the sideline, and I'm going to paint a big B on my chest. And then I could put an S for Smith Center, and then be BS, and that wouldn't look good. There's Gershner running around with his shirt off, and it says BS on the front. Yeah, that's true. He is full of that. No. B's for Beloit and S for Smith Center. Oh, never mind. Forget about it. Yeah, you're not going to see that tonight, I can assure you. I'll wear a long-sleeve shirt. I don't want to embarrass all the guys out there with the guns.
Yeah. I just scope my guns at the office.
Yeah, right. That's right. That is exactly right. You betcha. Yeah, we have this high-level workout routine here at the radio station that Dusty and I do. It's a very competitive, it's like competitive sports. It's just a different sport. It's competitive exercising.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to be amazed at what happens. Right before the show, every day, Dusty and I do a bunch of jumping jacks. Then we punch each other in the face and we shake it off and we wipe our nose. There's some blood coming out and we're like, all right, you ready to go? Yep, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. That's what Dusty's like, dude, I need that. This is better than smelling salts. Let's go. And then we go into the show. It's just a ritual we do every single
day. That's crazy how it works.
It is. The only thing we haven't been able to really control is losing the hair off the top of our heads. Yeah. We're getting both a little thinner up there, aren't we? That's why we're on radio, baby. That's why we're on radio. So it will be different. It will be different. So enjoy the games tonight. And I will not be listening, Dusty. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I will be in the stands, and hopefully there are no technical problems or anything. I know it'll be a little bit different because working with the video stream, but I know you'll handle it just fine, and we look forward to it tonight. Okay, top 25 AP college basketball poll has been released. KU moving up in the polls. Gonzaga's 1, Baylor 2. Baylor hasn't played for it seems like a month. Michigan 3, Ohio State is 4. The number 3 team in the country has 1 loss. The number 4 team has 5 losses. So you go from undefeated Gonzaga, undefeated Baylor, to 1 loss Michigan, to 5 losses. 5 losses all the way down to 3 losses for Florida State at number 11. So top 25 Big 12 representatives, Alabama's number 7, West Virginia's number 10, Baylor's number 2, and Texas is number 14. Creighton's number 13. That's a team KU beat earlier this year. Houston falls from 6 to 12. KU has moved up to 17, just ahead of Texas Tech, who's 18. And Texas Tech lost last night to Oklahoma State, by the way, 74 to 69 in overtime. So Texas Tech starting to play their ways down the seed line. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma State, that was a good win for them. Missouri's ranked 24th, not part of the Big 12 anymore. But and then Tennessee is 25th, and that's a team that waxed KU earlier this year. But they were waxed by Kentucky this past weekend. So your top 10, if you're wondering, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois is number 5, Alabama, Oklahoma, Villanova, Iowa, and West Virginia. Okay, so a big matchup tonight. We'll start with KU. They are at Texas. Texas ranked 14th. KU is 17th. KU's won 5 in a row and a very nice win over Texas Tech, although you have to wonder a little bit how good a win that is with Texas Tech now struggling a little bit. Of course, KU was embarrassed at home by Texas. Wasn't a full house at Allen Fieldhouse. Hasn't been all year due to COVID and the fan restrictions. But Texas just absolutely put a whipping on Kansas. It really wasn't close the whole game. 84 to 59 was the final. Bill Self and his team, they remember, and they're looking forward to this matchup in Austin tonight against a Texas team that's kind of been a little sporadic as of late. Here's Self on the Texas rematch tonight in Austin with pregame at 7:30 on Z96.3 Lake. KU actually ahead of Texas in the Big 12 standings at 10-5, Texas 7-5.
I think it would benefit us if we do some things much better than we did the first time we played. Transition D, finding guys in transition. Our ball screen defense wasn't any good. We didn't keep the ball in front of us very well. You know, we actually got some shots. We didn't attack them great, but we got some shots. And, you know, certainly we need to make a good percentage of the open looks we get. But they're obviously very talented. And, you know, they lost a heartbreaker on Saturday. And we know they'll come ready to play.
Yeah, Texas had a 19-point lead against West Virginia and couldn't hang on. They lost that by 2. You know, KU, they're going to have to be able to shoot threes, no doubt. The Longhorns were 12 of 26 from 3 against KU the first time around in Allen Fieldhouse. So KU is going to have to shoot the ball well from 3, but they're also going to play better 3-point defense. And KU's defense is vastly improved from the first time they played Texas. Shaka Smart downplaying the rematch, saying, hey, listen, we're two different teams than we were a couple months ago. Now, Kansas isn't downplaying it. Bill Self goes, if that doesn't provide motivation, I don't know what does. Mm-hmm. We all collectively need to be better. He goes, we got outcoached. We got outplayed. And, you know, KU is going to use that as motivation. Now, whether that translates onto the court in a win tonight in Austin, I don't know. I do know that Texas is very athletic up front, and they've got length, and that could cause problems with David McCormick. And if that's the case, and McCormick struggles and can't really get going offensively, now KU is going to have to hit threes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the road, you can't usually count on making threes on the road as much as you can at home. So it'll be interesting. This last game against Texas Tech was the first time everybody was really kind of going at the same time offensively for KU, except for Christian Brown, but then he hit 2 huge daggers late in the game. You know, Abaji played well. Wilson's out of his slump. McCormick's playing well. Garrett played well the other night. So, and then Bryce Thompson's giving them a spark off the bench now, which adds to their depth. They weren't getting much off their bench the few weeks prior to Thompson's reemergence. So this is a matchup that's going to – I'd be very surprised if anybody wins by 25 tonight. I really would be. I think this is going to be a gut check game late. Texas has lost some close games this year where they haven't been able to finish. I think the easy pick here would be that Kansas is going to find a way in a rematch. Only one team in Bill Self's time at KU has only one team in Big 12 conference play swept KU during the regular season. Only one. Can you name them? Only one team. One school.
Man.
One school that has swept Kansas during the regular season. Only one in Bill Self's time at KU.
OSU?
Yes, Oklahoma State did.
I was just thinking that.
Oklahoma State was the only team to do it. So Texas had the opportunity to do that tonight. So the odds are in favor of Kansas to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Kansas. I think they got a huge chip on their shoulder. Texas, they've had some inner barking, and we saw it right there in front of TV at West Virginia. Maybe they've righted the ship. I don't know. They're spiring a little bit. And I kept saying early in the year, when after they beat KU, I'm like, okay, I guess they're legit. Well, here we are. And Kansas ranked just behind them. And Texas is 13-6, 7-5. And they look like a top five Final Four team against Kansas. And there for that stretch, they did. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, late in the year, talking about Texas, middle of the pack in the Big 12. KU's number three.
How it goes, right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like every year, we talk about how great West Virginia and Texas are early in the year, and then at the end of the year, they kind of fade. Now, West Virginia, to their credit, beat Texas the other day, and they're ranked 10th. So they haven't faded yet. Hopefully, they don't. For their sake, and you know, Josh Eilert from North Central Kansas, assistant coach with Bob Huggins there at West Virginia. But Texas, they tend to fade, and KU could help continue that fade tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you just talk about two different teams. It's crazy how different the direction would be right now compared to the first time they played. So, you know, a lot of these games, when they start a conference so early, just with the weird schedule this year, are totally different the second time around. So that's kind of what I'm anticipating tonight as well.
Yeah, I think so, too. It'd be a much different game. K-State has an opportunity tonight to beat Oklahoma. We talk about a weird stat there that Oklahoma State's the only school in Bill Self's tenure that has swept KU during a regular season. That's pretty amazing. All the years Bill Self, he started coaching in 04 with Kansas. So we're talking about 17, 18 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And only one team has swept Kansas during the regular season. But how about this one? Lon Kruger's been at OU for a while now. Lon Kruger has never won as head coach of Oklahoma at Kansas State in men's basketball.
Yeah.
And he had the number one team in the land that got beat by K-State and Austin Butke. Remember, Austin Butke was a part of that, Beloit's own. So tonight, does that change? K-State's 6-18, 2-3 in conference play. They got a win the other day against TCU, Oklahoma. Are they looking past this game? I think it's normal to look past it. They're ranked 7th. They're 14-5. They're 9-4 in the Big 12. It's on ESPN2 tonight at 8 o'clock. Bruce Weber. His team getting ready for Oklahoma, a team that Bruce Weber says their style has changed.
Lon, way back, he was a real, I would say, more deliberate coach and defensive-minded, and they were tough and played a little, I guess, more conservative. And then it seems like at Oklahoma, they've been a little more free-flowing, a lot of switching on defense. Coach Molinari joined the staff. Obviously, Mozo has been a tough, hard-nosed defensive coach. I think he's maybe instilled some of his philosophies or brought his, you know, change up a little bit. They are much tougher as a team. But there's, to me, it's also the guys in the program.
Well, what do you think, Dusty? Does that streak continue? Lon Kruger doesn't win in Manhattan?
I think he wins in Manhattan.
You think he wins tonight? You don't think K-State wins two in a row?
No. Listen, again, I think it'll be way better than what it was when they went to Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are playing way better right now. There's no question about that. But Oklahoma's really good. And I feel like this is, if it's going to happen, this is probably the year for Lon Kruger to finally break that streak of not winning as the Oklahoma coach at Bramlage Coliseum. And I don't know. I don't feel like K-State has the guns to be able to finish it off tonight. Let me say it'll be within 10 points. But
I'm going to say, I think it'll be a competitive, closer game. But I agree with you. I think Oklahoma has – I mean, TCU's not a offensive firehouse, a powerhouse, and OU's got much better offensive players. I wouldn't be surprised if K-State won, but I'm like you. I can't pick K-State to win this game. I think OU will just have a little bit too much at the end. I think K-State loses by like 5 or 6. They'll be right there. Kind of like that Texas game maybe where they're down, they come back and make it pretty interesting. Last night we mentioned Oklahoma State beat Texas Tech 74-69 overtime. Number 10, West Virginia at TCU tonight at 6 o'clock, and Iowa State at Baylor. Baylor finally back on the court, number 2 team in the land at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Baylor and Kansas will play Saturday there in Lawrence, which we'll have on Z96.3 The Lake. NBA news. Forgive me, Washington Wizard fans, if there are any that are around North Central Kansas. The Wizards have won 5 in a row, so maybe the Clippers cannot rest Paul George, as I talked about. The Wizards have won 5 in a row. They beat the Lakers last night in overtime. The Lakers are a completely different team without Anthony Davis. I mean, it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. The Lakers are really struggling, although they have other guys that are hurt too. Dennis Schroeder is out with COVID-19 protocol. He's our starting point guard. The Suns beat the Blazers last night big time, 132-100. Devin Booker with 34. And how about the Utah Jazz, who are the number one team in the Western Conference right now, best record in basketball in the NBA. They won last night 132-110. They made 28 three-pointers, which is a franchise record. 28 three-pointers. That's 80. I can do the math. 80. That's that Trigo Community High School. I'm going to say college. There's not a college at Trigo. I love Kenny. Trigo Community High School education kicking in. 28 times 3 is 84. 84 of the 132 points from beyond the arc.
That's a good recipe if you're making that.
If you're making them, yeah.
To win a game.
Yeah. If you make them, yeah. It's a great recipe.
Now, if you're not making them, maybe time to stop pulling the trigger and do something a little different.
Maybe.
I would like to say that to some high school teams, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you're like, all right, that might have been better to work the ball around instead of checking a three, but okie dokie. And then let's see. Oh yeah, the Royals are in spring training. Yesterday was the first day of full squad workouts for the Royals. I'm excited about the Royals this year. I think it comes down to the same old adage we talk about over and over with baseball every spring training for any team, and that's pitching. Because I think, you know, the offensively the Royals, I mean, you look at this Royals lineup, I mean, on paper, and I know it's paper, and they could come out and score two runs or less every game for the first 10 and start 1-9 and we'll be like,
yeah.
You know, let's look ahead to 2022. But the Royals have put together an interesting team. You got Salvi at catcher, Carlos Santana, who did not play well, but it was a very short season last year, but has had some big years power-wise. Not bad defensive first baseman. You got him every day at first. In the past, we've had, O'Hearn and kind of some rotation a little bit. Dozier's played some there. Yeah. And then you've got Dozier now, your everyday third baseman. Franco is gone. Shortstop is Mondesi, who really came on late in the last year. I think a full regular offseason spring training will help him immensely because he was showing the signs of superstardom two seasons ago, and he's still really young. You got Lopez at second, you know, good defensive second baseman, not a lot of pop, doesn't strike out a lot. Left field, you got Benintendi, who 26 years of age, he's been to a World Series, he's been in the playoffs, he hasn't done much last year and a half. But he's still only 26, and if he can re-find his stroke, that's a big-time pickup for the Royals. In place, they get a lot younger, and they get a guy that's really good defensively to replace a guy that was great defensively in Alex Gordon, and then maybe Benintendi is going to have more pop, and he could have a lot of doubles. Some people say he's going to be a doubles machine there at Kauffman, a gap hitter. We shall see. Center field, you got Michael Taylor. He's got a lot of speed, really good defensively. I still question what he can do offensively. Mm-hmm. And then in right field, you got Whit Merrifield, and Whit continues to move around all over the place. Whit will play some second again, too, this year, I'm sure. And Soler is your DH. I mean, you look at that lineup. I mean, your leadoff man is Merrifield. Mondesi's your number two guy. And then your third hitter is probably going to be Dozier, I would guess. And then maybe Santana. And then Soler in the four spot, Santana in the five spot, Salvi, and then Benintendi might be your seven hole hitter. Mm. That's not bad. Lopez is your nine, and Taylor is your eight. I mean, you know, those two seem a little bit weak at the bottom of the order, but most teams at the bottom order are a little bit weak.
Yeah,
that's not bad. I mean, now the question is, the bullpen. I think there's some questions, but they do have Staumont. They like him. They might end up getting to the point where Junis ends up being in the bullpen. If you didn't see, Danny Duffy's going to wear Yordano Ventura's number 30. Mm-hmm. It was Yordano's family approved that. So instead of 41, Duffy's going to honor Yordano Ventura with number 30 this year.
Third number he wore at the major league level. Started with 23.
That's right. That's right. I forgot 23.
Yeah.
41's the one I remember. So in the rotation, you've got, you know, right now you got Junis and you've got Duffy and then you've got Keller. And then Singer, you know, can he hold up during a whole season? That'll be interesting. A young guy that looked really good last year. Bubic, who was kind of up and down in his time last year. And then they got Cower in the minors. And they've got Lynch in the minors. And they've got Asa Lacy. They've got in the minors that they thought maybe he could be ready to come up in September last year. I mean, the Royals have turned what was a really good farm system when they were making a run to the World Series. Then they depleted it, and now they've quickly restocked it, especially in regards to pitching.
Yeah.
And that's what the Royals did. They got a lot of college pitchers in the last three or four drafts. And if these pitchers can develop, and then you can move a guy like Jacob Junis to the bullpen. And I think Jacob Junis can be devastating in the bullpen. I mean, he came out of the bullpen, what was it, late last year and struck out the side. He's got nasty stuff. That slider and fastball, if he's a two-pitch pitcher, Junis could be your closer of the future. He's got nasty stuff. Stamott's got nasty stuff. Greg Holland's still serviceable. Wade Davis might make the team if he could refine some of what he had, which is asking a lot. He was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But the Royals have some options in the bullpen. And then who knows? I mean, if these young pitchers really come through, Duffy might end up going to the bullpen as a lefty specialist. Yeah. So the Royals, you know, I think the question, the Royals have been talking about having a six-man rotation, which I don't think is crazy. I think a lot of people are like, oh, six-man rotations. People talk about it every spring training, but they don't hold to it. You're not going to do it the first month of the season because you have a lot of off days. Yeah. You probably even have a four-man rotation. But I think it's not a bad idea for the Royals, and here's why. With all those young arms, that would preserve them.
Yeah.
Because those guys, like Singer, was able to let it fly last year because it was only 60 games. But can Singer throw, can Singer go from whatever, how many innings he threw last year up to 200 innings? That's a big jump. Huge jump on guys' young arms. And you don't want to, you know, blow out their arms early.
No.
So I think it would behoove the Royals to have a six-man rotation at times or skip a start here and there for some of the young guys. Because as much as I criticize the Clippers and Ty Lue resting Paul George final 3 minutes of game, Paul George isn't a young guy with a great pitching arm. It's a lot different.
Yeah.
And if it's the final 2 weeks of the season, the Royals are trying to make the playoffs, I'm sorry. I'm probably get mad if they have an innings limit on a guy and shut him down. Remember, Steven Strasburg went through that with the Nationals.
They did it with Brad Keller. A couple years back.
Right. Which they weren't in it to make
the
playoffs
anyway. But yeah.
I'm saying if you're in it.
Yeah.
Like if you have 2 weeks in the season, the Royals have a chance to win the division, and you shut down Brad Keller and Brady Singer, I'm probably going to be upset as a Royals fan.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'll probably somehow understand that we're talking about not ruining a guy's arm. The Washington Nationals went through this with Steven Strasburg. Yeah. They shut him down, and they were in a pennant race. And people were like, you're crazy. And they're like, dude, we're not going to mess him up. You know what? They end up being right on that one.
Yeah.
Because they ended up winning a World Series. And who was the catalyst and who was the World Series MVP, if I remember correctly? It was Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
He was dominant.
Yeah.
And, you know, you blow him out early in the year, blow out his arm in his career, you don't have that. So I understand all the investment and the money, and I understand watching the innings limit of pitchers, but I do think if you get to the final week two of the season and a guy, let's say we're at 200 innings is the limit, right? And let's say that Brad Keller's at 200 innings and Brady Singer's at 196, and the Royals need two more starts from these guys. They need 12 more innings. I'm saying you waive the restriction and go
for
it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. Maybe that's irresponsible. That's me. If I'm Ty Lue, what's three more minutes for Paul George to play? Let him rest against the awesome Washington Wizards, who have won five in a row. Yeah. Little did I know.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook are taking over. My son told me yesterday ESPN screwed up on a graphic for Russell Westbrook last night, and I forgot what player's picture was in place of Russell Westbrook. It wasn't Russell Westbrook. I said, son, ESPN has cut a lot of staff. I said, look very closely at the graphics of ESPN. Lots of misspellings.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that tournament is tournament. I can't do it. There's an M instead of an N at the end. Tournament. I can't even say it. Yeah, there's an extra M. Did you know that? There's an MT at the end of tournament?
Yeah.
That's according to the graphics.
They just went ahead and changed it.
Yeah, they just made up their own word. Yeah, why not? They've cut staff, no doubt, over the last few years. So he said that I forgot what player it was that ended up. It was a different player's face in place of Russell Westbrook. And my son goes, it wasn't even that close.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. Mistakes happen, right? All right. Let everybody know again our broadcast schedule, locker room chats, and our broadcast schedule.
Yeah, locker room chats start tonight around 5:10 to 5:15 with the wrestling coaches. We're going to talk with Andy Nemchek and Brock Hutchinson this week. Nate Brown's season in Osborne came to a close last week, so we won't make him talk about it again twice and do the same thing. So wrestling locker room chats tonight, 5:10, 5:15, somewhere in there is when they'll start. And then we'll have pregame at 5:50 for Beloit hosting Smith Center. On the girls' side, the girls' varsity at 6 o'clock. The boys to follow on Katy Country 94 and also online video stream with the Beloit Trojan channel at nckssports.com tonight from Beloit. So that's a look at what's going on here this evening.
That is fantastic. By the way, John Kurtz of K-Man will join us tomorrow. K-State in focus. We'll talk about K-State's big upset win over Oklahoma. No reaction from Nussie at all. Wow.
We won't.
I'm going to keep that. If K-State wins. There you go, fighting K-State Wildcat fans. There's your motivation. Nussie said we won't. Well, we shall see
tomorrow morning. Put it on the bulletin board, Bruce.
Put it on the bulletin board, Bruce. You know, right next to the play hard chart, Dusty says we're not going to be talking about an upset win tomorrow for K-State. Okay, we shall see come tomorrow. We've seen worse upsets than this.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt about it. John Kurtz will be with us tomorrow about 9:30. Talk K-State and we'll probably discuss somehow Bruce Weber's name may come up. I would imagine so. Otherwise, I really don't know what we're going to talk about, except K-State's upset win over Oklahoma.
No.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.